It gave up the ghost, right? Okay. Well, we were going to have a couple of videos, which were Christmas-type songs and everything. Obviously, we can't have them. But what I was going to talk about... I was going to light the candle. Normally, I light the white candle on Christmas Eve to signify that the light has come into the world. But I wanted to have the other four candles lit before lighting the middle one. I light it anyway, but the other ones don't seem to want to stay lit. Hopefully this one will. But yes, the light has come into the world. It's here. And whether this candle ever goes out or not, the light of Christ will never go out. He is the light of the world, and he is with us forever. And we will be with him throughout all eternity. But now, we've been waiting all through Advent for the arrival of the Christ child. And he has come. 2 days ago, we celebrated Christmas. We celebrated his birth, and the child has been born. But now what? Now what? Do we just go back to the way things were? Our normal everyday activities? Just as if, well, that was nice, but it's over now. Let's get back to our lives. You know, do we just get on with things? Or do we continue to focus on some of the glitzy aspects of Christmas? We still have our tree up. Most people do. We still have some outside lights and everything. We still intend to light them up. Let people know. Light. The light has come into the world. But does it really have meaning to us? Or is it now just, well, the season's over, and now New Year's is coming, and that's another celebration that we have to look forward to? Do we just focus on that, and now it's kind of like Christmas is in the rearview mirror? It was nice and enjoyable, but it's behind us. What do we do? And I know what the world does. World just forgets it. It's over. We had our parties, we exchanged our gifts and everything, and now, you know, it's time to look forward to New Year's and back to normal. Yeah. But there's more to Christmas than just that. It's not just a day on the calendar. You celebrate it and you move on. There's more to it than that. And there was a video that I was going to play to kind of highlight that. Maybe give us a little more perspective as a lead into what I really wanted to say. And that video was another Christmas type carol. And it's, what child is this? And I'm sure that most of you, or perhaps all of you, are familiar with at least some of the words. You know, what child is this? That's a question that a lot of people need to ask. I think about, and this. Oh, you have the scriptures, Donna? You said. Okay. Well, just pull the plug, I guess. In any event, there are scriptures. It's in the Gospels. Shepherds, you know, in the field at night. And suddenly, an angel appears to them, announcing the birth of Jesus. And then there's a whole host of angels praising God and glorifying him. Boy, I wonder about those shepherds, what they must have thought. And the angel told them where to go to find the child. And they went. And they saw the baby Jesus. But I don't hear anything about the shepherds after that. What went through their minds? Did any of them think to kind of follow up? Gee, we see all these angels and praising God and announcing the birth of this child. There must be something special about the child. So they go and they see him. What'd they do afterwards? Did they just go back to the field and say, oh, that was nice? I mean, I don't know. Did any of them think to say, well, gee, there's something special about this child. I better keep my eye on him. Did any of them do that? I have no idea. Over the years, what did they do? I don't know. We have another instance later on when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple for his dedication. There was an old man there, Simeon, and God had revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And he happened to be at the temple when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus. And he saw the baby. And he rejoiced because he knew, he just knew in his spirit that this was the Messiah, this baby Jesus. So he prophesied. He spoke forth wonderful words, and you can find it in the Gospels, about Jesus. I wonder whatever happened to him. I know the Lord told him that he wouldn't die until he saw the baby, so maybe shortly after that he did pass on. I don't know. But did he make any effort to follow what happened with this child? Don't know. But other people heard the prophecy, and other people must have wondered, there's something about this child. At the same time, there was a woman, Anna, she was a prophetess. And she recognized too that this was the baby Jesus, the Messiah. And it says in Scripture that she went and told anybody that would listen about him. Because she knew. So many people heard about baby Jesus. He's the coming one, the Messiah, the one who's going to save his people from their sins. But did any of them follow up? Or did they just go back to normal life? I wonder. What would we have done? We hear things like that. You know? If we were living back then and we heard that. There's something special about this baby. Will we soon forget about it and just go about our normal things? Our normal way of life? I don't know. Did they really know what child this is? Did they really understand that this was God incarnate? This was the living God came down to take on human form? This baby, not only a human being, but God himself. I don't know that they fully understood that. And we have another kind of an example of this, the people not understanding just who he really is. If you remember, the disciples were with Jesus in a boat. And they're out there, and a storm comes up. He's asleep in the back of the boat. And the boat's rocking and being tossed to and fro, and he's still asleep. And they're on the boat, and they're afraid that they're going to be swamped and drown. And they go to him, and they wake him up. Say, what are you doing sleeping, Master? Don't you care that we're about to perish? He said, oh, you of little faith. And what does he do? He says to the storm, peace, be still. And all of a sudden, calm. It was as calm as anything. And what did the disciples say? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this? They didn't know. They had been spending time with him. They had seen miracles and everything. But I don't think they really understood just who he was. They might have thought that he was just some anointed, well-anointed man who could do these miracles. The hand of God was upon him. Did they really understand that he was also God? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. I don't know when it exactly dawned on them. But it must have been sometime after the resurrection, because they had seen him die, and then they see him alive again. And it finally dawned on them who he really is. And I can't help but wonder how many of us really understand who he is. We know it intellectually. We know it in our minds. We know the facts. The Bible tells us who he is, and we understand it intellectually, but what about in our hearts? Do we really know, without the shadow of a doubt, as to who he is? Jesus is alive, but he's not only alive, but he's living within each one of us. And he has given us his Holy Spirit as well to live within us. Think about that for a moment and let that really sink in. The living God, the one who created the universe, the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, who has eternal life, lives within each one of us. That's an amazing thing. If that really sinks in to the depths of our being, how much would our lives be different? Would we be as fearful about things like we are now? Would we be? The God who created the universe lives within me. Why should I fear anything? Why should I be afraid to witness to somebody? Why should I be afraid when circumstances go bad? Or I have a problem of some sort? Why should I be doubtful about my prayers? Or if I pray and lay hands on somebody that they should be healed, why should I doubt? Why? It is God within me. And if I am being his instrument, if I am speaking his words, if I am reaching out, touching with his hands, why should I fear or doubt anything? And I have to confess to you, I'm in the same boat. I want it to really sink in, to fully realize who he is and that he is in me and he is in you. The living God, the all-powerful God. I think that's what's lacking in a lot of the church today. What child is this? Well, he's not a child anymore. But who is this that he commands even the winds and the waves and they obey him? That's the one who is within us. I need to fully grasp that. And for some reason, I can't seem to. Yet I want to. I don't want to be fearful about anything. I don't want to be doubting anything. I want to be able to be his instrument for any purpose whatsoever. But I can't be unless I fully grasp and understand who He is and that He is within me. I think we all need to meditate on that. Think about that. Not just now, but when we leave this place. Think about it. Who is He? He is God incarnate. I have Him inside. Once I grasp that, my life is going to be totally different. Your life is going to be totally different. When you really understand that, and it took the disciples a long time before they finally grasped it. Because after the Holy Spirit came into their lives and upon them, I mean, they were fearful. They were locked in a room, afraid that the Roman soldiers were going to come after them, just like, you know, they took Jesus and crucified Him. But after the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were different. They weren't afraid of anything or anybody. And they went out and preached the gospel. They healed the sick. They cast out demons. They did all manner of miracles. And the beautiful thing, at the very end of one of the gospels, Jesus said, "These things that I do, you see these things that I do? Well, greater than these will you do, because I go to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is going to be within us." I long to see those greater things being done by all of us. That's one of the promises that we have. Think about all the miracles He performed, and yet He said, "Greater than these shall you do." Oh, I want to see them. I want to be able to be an instrument to do them. But it's going to take my fully grasping the fact of that He is God Himself in me. And I can't let that go. Jesus has come. He fulfilled His life. We celebrated His birth. But I can't just let that go. I need to celebrate that every single day of the year. That He is here. And not only is He in the world, but He's in here. And He's in you. Let that sink in. God is in you. And I pray, Father, I pray that You would open all our eyes, all our hearts, all of our understanding to fully realize and grasp that truth, that You are in us. And with You, all things are possible. The power that created the universe is within us. The love that sent Jesus into the world to live His life and die on the cross and be resurrected, that love is in us. The wisdom of God is in us. Everything pertaining to God is in us. Help us, Lord, to fully realize that and appreciate it and just let it, cause it to sink in, Lord, deep, deep within us, that we would know, Lord, truly who You are and that You are in us. Thank You, Lord. May it be so, Father. May this be a year like none other, because we come into that understanding and that knowledge. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank You. Amen.